Together.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. Lord, in it, you've revealed to us the way things really are. Lord, in it is good news that there's salvation in Christ Jesus. Lord, as we spend time now thinking about Jesus and what he's done, Father, give us ears to hear and eyes to see and minds to understand your word. Lord, you have to do that work. So we pray that you'll be with us now to help us see marvelous things in your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was down at Kingston Community Hub recently, seeing if there was any ideas I could borrow for our community building up here at the Lantern Centre. And I came across this event that caught my attention. It was called the Kingston Death Cafe. Here's what I read. A death cafe is an invitation to get together to explore how anything relating to death and dying might be understood differently, more naturally. An opportunity to share, become informed, and provide food for thought for planning for one's own death in a relaxing atmosphere with coffee and cake. What a fun way to spend a morning, right? To be honest, when I first read it, I wondered who on earth would go to that. I couldn't imagine anything worse. Who wants to think about, let alone talk about, death? It's one of the last great taboo topics in our culture. It's not the type of thing you're going to bring up at a dinner party, is it? In fact, if you mention it, it's pretty much guaranteed to kill any conversation. Part of the reason for that, I think, is that most people don't really have an answer for death. They don't want to talk about it because they don't know what to say. They don't want to think about it because it's sort of like this big dark cloud hanging over the horizon that they know is coming but don't know how to get away. When they think about it, it fills them with dread. The great dark unknown is coming. We may try not to think about it. We may try to deny it or ignore it. We can even try to distract ourselves from it. But deep down, all of us know it's there. And most people just don't know what to do with it. That's the reason why a death cafe exists, isn't it? To try to provide some sort of answers to people who are scared. The good news is, as Christians, we do have the answer to death. We don't have speculation or theory. We have truth. The truth has been revealed to us, and it's good news. For us, death isn't something we have to avoid talking about or thinking about. For us, death isn't even something we have to fear, because Jesus has defeated death for us. And Jesus guarantees that just like him, after we die, we're going to rise again victorious. Our Sunday morning tagline here at Kingston Christian Reformed Church for the next few weeks is, "Isn't Jesus brilliant?" And we're thinking about what makes Jesus so brilliant. The Bible tells us today, and this is our big idea, that Jesus is brilliant because he appeared in the flesh to conquer death for us. Death is not going to beat us because Jesus has beaten death. And that's what we see as we look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Jesus appeared in the flesh to conquer death for us. This is what it says. But we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. You'll notice this verse begins with the word but. But we do see Jesus, which means there's a contrast being drawn between what the author has said previously and Jesus. So to properly understand what's being said, we got to understand what the previous verses said. So what's the author been saying in those verses? The basic gist of the verses before in 5 to 8, which we read, is that the world to come, that is restored creation, free from the effects of sin, will be under the authority of humans. Humans will rule over creation. That's the way things were supposed to be. That's the way God designed and created it. But that relationship has been distorted by sin. That's the way things will be in the new creation. But that's not what we see now, the author says in the second half of verse 8. When we look around our world today, we don't see creation under our rule. In fact, a lot of the time, the opposite seems to be true. When we see natural disasters and sickness and disease, decay, poverty, and especially when we see death, it's really clear that we don't have things under control. So where's our hope? Where's our assurance that things are going to be made right one day? Jesus, we don't see order now, but we do see Jesus. We see the incarnation. We see the eternal Son of God take on flesh. We see the Son of God become human just like us. We see the Son of God, holy, perfect, step down into the disorder of this fallen world. That's what the author is talking about when he says in verse 9, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while. He's talking about the incarnation. He's talking about the eternal Son of God taking on flesh. And what do we see in this Jesus? We see Jesus conquering death. We see Jesus setting things right. He suffered death, but he came out the other side and is now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. Death isn't supposed to be the boss. That's not the way God created things. Death isn't supposed to have the last say. Jesus made sure it didn't. Death didn't defeat Jesus. He overcame it. He conquered it. Even death is now subject to King Jesus. Everything is under his control. Even death. That's a really big thought. And it's good to know. But I think it's important we ask, so what? What does Jesus becoming a human and defeating death have to do with you and me? How does it address the issue of death for us? What does it have to do with restoring us to that position of authority God designed for us to hold? The last part of verse 9 tells us. It says, so that by the grace of God, which means this was God's plan to fix the problem, so that by the grace of God, he, that's Jesus, might taste death for everyone. When my kids were a little bit younger, before sport and stuff took over our Saturdays, we used to wake up on Saturday mornings and go on a family adventure, which pretty much just meant we were going on a bushwalk. And I remember on one of these walks, popping out of the bush into this footy field-sized clearing with long grass and reeds, like, head high. And as I looked out over it, I remember thinking, man, that just looks snaky and dangerous. Anything could be hiding in there. But there was no way back and there was no other way around. We'd come too far and we had to push through. Now, being the dad, it was my job to go through first. I had to push through the grass and reeds and make a path for everyone else to follow. I had to clear the way to the other side so that everyone else could get through safely. I went first and opened the way so that my family could follow. That's a little bit like what Jesus did with death for everyone who believes in him. He went first. He opened the way to glory and honor that was intended for all humans. He tasted death for everyone. What we're supposed to see here is that Jesus is the first human being to fulfill what Psalm 8, which is what the author's actually quoting there in verses 6 to 8, what we're supposed to see is that Jesus is the first human being to fulfill what Psalm 8 had promised. He's the first human to hold the position of honor and glory God intended for all humans. Jesus defeated death to restore us to our rightful position. He went first. He's the pioneer. He's the champion of all humanity. Because he went first, because he's the pioneer and champion, everyone who believes in him can be sure that that's where we're headed as well. We don't see it now, but we do see Jesus. Jesus guarantees us a glorious future beyond death. If you believe in Jesus, this truth is great comfort and hope. This is something to set your focus on. This is something to look forward to. Though we may sometimes look around and things look pretty grim, though we can at times feel helpless and out of control, we can be sure that the way things are in this world now is not how things end, because Jesus went first. There is a world to come, and it won't be like this one. In the world to come, we'll be restored with Jesus. That's really good news. How, though? How does Jesus' victory over death beat death for us? That's the second thing we're going to look at today. Jesus' death broke the devil's power over us in verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. Jesus took on flesh and blood to represent humanity. He had to be like us, share in our humanity so that he could properly stand in our place. He had to be like us so he could represent us. He had to take on flesh and blood like we have so that he could die our death. How did Jesus' victory over death beat death for us? He was representing us. It was our death he died. How come death no longer keeps us down? Because Jesus' death broke the devil's power of death. What does that mean? The devil, which is another name for Satan, the deceiver, the great enemy of God, doesn't have power over death inherently. It's not like he can decide who lives and who dies. Any power he has is derived power. It comes from God, and at best, it's secondary power. But the devil does hold some power over death. The devil's power is the power of accusation. The devil's power is in his ability to accuse God's people and therefore question God's character. What he does is bring our sin before God. It's legal power that Satan holds. He says to God, look at Chris. He's a sinner. Look at what he's done. Look at how he's turned his back on you. If you're a holy God, you can't accept him. If you do, you can't call yourself holy. Either Chris is punished, which means he dies, or you, God, are a fraud. And up to the point of Jesus' death, the devil's accusations were justified. We were guilty. The devil had power to have us condemned to death. But because Jesus took on flesh and blood, because he became a real and proper human being so that he could represent us, and because as our representative, he took ownership of all our sin, and because he took the punishment in full for all that sin, because Jesus did that, our debt is paid in full. We're forgiven. There's no more punishment left for us to take. Our representative took it all, which means the devil has no accusation against God's people left. The devil's power is broken. He can't have anyone who believes in Jesus condemned. The victory's been won. Satan is finished. Our future is secure. Isn't Jesus brilliant? This is good news, isn't it? We have a sure future after death. A glorious future. Because Jesus took on flesh and died for us. That should have an impact on us here and now. It should mean something for how you live out the rest of your days here in this world. And verse 15 tells us what that impact is. Verse 15 tells us that Jesus' death frees us from fear of death. It says, by his death, Jesus freed those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. If you know where you're going and what comes next, and you know it's good, you have no reason to fear. I don't know if you've ever had a job interview or a date or something similar, and you're a bit nervous, so the day before you go and scope the place out. You go for a drive, you find the building, you do a lap of the block, you plan where you're going to park. You might even have an anonymous peek inside, because you know that if you can reduce some of that unknown, it's going to reduce your fear and anxiety. Jesus has scoped it out for us. But even more than that, he's guaranteed the outcome. We know exactly what comes next. So today, right now, we don't need to fear death. Notice though, what the Christian is free from is the fear of death, not from physical death itself. If you're a Christian, unless Jesus returns first, you're going to die. That's just a reality. But when you die, your death will be different. Whereas for those who don't follow death, follow Jesus, their death means eternal separation from God, eternal suffering and punishment. If Jesus is your representative, punishment is done. You will not be separated from God for even a second. Death is no longer a punishment for you. It is simply your entry into new life with Jesus. That's not to make light of death, nor is it to say that death is now easy or painless. We still may suffer physical pain. We still may suffer emotional pain because there's still going to be separation from the people we love. And that hurts. To say we've been set free from the fear of death isn't to say we're supposed to face it with some sort of que sera sera attitude. Death is horrible and unnatural. It was not part of God's original good creation. And it won't be part of new creation. It is horrible, and we should mourn. But as Christians, we need not fear it. As Christians, we can talk about it. it's not a conversation killer for us. We can think about it. We don't have to dwell on it, but thinking about it doesn't have to bring us down. In fact, thinking about it can even fill us with a sort of hope, because for us, to die is gain. We get to go and be with Jesus. We can plan for it and prepare for it, especially with the people we love, because we don't fear somehow speaking it into existence. It's not a taboo topic for the Christian because Jesus has transformed our experience of death. Jesus has conquered death for us, and death now leads us to Jesus. My personal hope is that I'll be able to face my own death without fear. Not so much for myself, but for the benefit of those that I know and love. There's not much that's more convicting or encouraging than coming into contact with a Christian person who, when faced with their own death, isn't scared because they know and trust Jesus. It's disarming, it's inspiring, and it might be the greatest testimony to who Jesus is and what he's done for us in his own death as our representative. My hope is to die well for the benefit of others. What a great thing that will be. You might be here today and you're not a Christian, and up to this point in your life, you haven't really had a proper answer to death. Maybe you've never really thought about it, or you might have deliberately avoided thinking about it because it's a bit disconcerting. Maybe you've faced it, or you're facing it right now, and you're fearful because you don't really know where you're going. The message today is you don't have to be fearful. Jesus tasted death for everyone who believes in him. He conquered death for all who follow him. And he paved the way for all his people to be crowned with glory and honor with him in the world to come. If you put your trust in him today, his death was for you as well. He represented you. He took your punishment, and you no longer have to fear. If that's you today, please put your trust in Jesus so that you're prepared. Because if you die without turning to Jesus, unfortunately, it will be too late. There is an answer for death. Jesus is the answer. Death won't have the last say. It can't defeat God's people, because Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus went first. He paved the way for everyone who believes in him. If you're a believer, when the day comes for you to draw your last breath and your eyes close for the last time here on this earth, the next thing you'll see will be Jesus. You'll be with him, crowned with glory and honor. Because Jesus appeared in the flesh to conquer death for us. Isn't Jesus brilliant? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what great hope and assurance we have in King Jesus. What great hope for the future. What a great victory has been won on our behalf by our representative Jesus. Lord, the fear is death is gone and our hope is secure. Lord, help us to trust Jesus and look to him, even when things look dark, because we know that he's conquered death for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to continue praying together now.